All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many of you are freezing right now? Anybody freezing? We got a couple freezing. How many of you are warm right now? Okay. How many of you are just right? Freezers. I'm sorry, freezers. You got to bring an extra coat or something. It's so hard to get the temperature right, but praise God. Praise God. Are you ready to receive? I'll warm you up. I'll get you all fired up here in a second. Get ready. Hallelujah. Go to John chapter 15 and verse 7. John chapter 15 and verse 7. Praise the name of Jesus. Aren't you glad to be here? Praise God. Father, we're just so grateful and so thankful this morning for all that you've done, for all that you've given to us, for all that you've provided. Father, help us this morning. Help us to say what you want said, to do what you want done. Father, we're not here for man's plans. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. Father, each service is an opportunity to build on something. And Lord, I don't want to build it with man's plans and man's ideas, man's philosophies, man's thoughts, man's ways. No, we want heaven. So Father, I become a willing vessel. And Father, I say, use me this morning to speak through me. Father, I'll be like the psalmist of old. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. And Father, I thank you, help my mouth, you'll fill it. And I'll speak with words from heaven as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, I thank you that we'll hear from heaven this morning. Father, we'll get exactly what we need, revelation, insight, correction, encouragement, instruction, whatever it is we need, we're walking out of here with something better. So, Father, we give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, kids, are you ready to listen? Amen. Now, here's the thing. I know, parents, I'm just going to just say this. If the kids don't pay attention, I'm going to deny them a prize. I'm telling you, if they act up in church, it's your job to keep them quiet and things and keep them behaving. I know you will. We have great parents. But I really want our kids to learn that the house of God, you know, when they sit in school and they have to be taught instruction in school, they're required to be quiet. They're required to be honorable. We're not going to have less for the house of God. Amen. I know Pastor Mike, he's a softy and sweet at times, but man, don't make me turn you away, kids. I don't want to do it. So pay attention, listen, be engaged in the service, and you'll be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, John chapter 15 and verse 7, praise God. We started our series last week, The Parable of the Sower, and this is the second service with that series, the second part of that series. And the reason we went into that is because the Holy Ghost said so, but we had a couple services where we really highlighted the importance of the Word of God, and that the Word, we can't let the Word escape our lives, and how important the Word is to us personally and what it does for our lives. And so the Parable of the Sower is a series all about the Word of God and what to do with the Word of God. So let's read real quick here. We'll do some quick review and go on. But John chapter 15 in verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words, what's his words? The Word of God. Notice what the Word can do for you. He said, if my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. What's that? That's increase. That's things changing. How does it happen? When his words abide in you. Everything's based on the Word. And he goes on in verse 8 and says, herein is my Father glorified. Wherein is my Father glorified? What the verse before just said. He goes on and explains it again in the end of this verse, but he was just saying, herein is my Father glorified. When what? When we ask what we will and he can do it for us. He wants to increase us. It says in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. God wants you to bear much fruit, praise God. And we said that God wants you to be a fruit producer, to produce things in your life. Now, if you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, we saw this. Now, we're just going through some review here real quick. Get you caught up. Get you remember where we're going. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. Now, I know that term husbandry can be a little blind to us in the King James. You are God's building. Michelle, would you please pull that up in the Amplified Bible? You are God's husbandry. We get a better idea or a better picture of what that means. Thank you. It says, for we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God. Now notice this. Remember what he said. I want you to produce fruit. Now I'm going to talk to you in a second about what the fruit is. He says, you are God's garden. Amen. That's what that word husbandry means in the Greek. You are God's vineyard and God's field under cultivation. You are God's building. Well, what does a field, what does a vineyard, what does a garden do? It produces harvest. It produces blessing. It produces fruit, produces vegetables, produces produce, right, that you can be blessed with, that you can live off, that you can be strengthened by. And so he says he wants us to bear fruit. Well, how are we going to be able to bear fruit? By being the garden, by being the field, by being the vineyard. Amen? Why? Because gardens, fields, and vineyards that are healthy and doing good, they produce fruit. And he says, I want you to produce fruit. You are meant to produce fruit. Well, what kind of fruit's he talking about? Well, we saw over in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's go there real quick. 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 2. What is this fruit that God wants us to produce? And by the way, when you produce fruit, it makes God look good. When you produce fruit, it makes God look good to other people. It makes other people want what you have. When you produce fruit, your life's more blessed. Amen, it is. Praise God. When you see what the fruit is, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied. Well, that's fruit, praise God. Grace and peace. We want grace and peace. Be multiplied unto you through. How's the grace and peace going to be multiplied? Through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. What is the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord? The knowledge of God and Jesus are the Word of God. The Word and the knowledge of the Word and the responding and the receiving of the Word causes fruit to be produced. Two of the fruit that's caused to be produced is grace in your life. What's grace? God's promises, God's power, God's provision, God's favor, God's healing, God's wisdom. Those type of things in your life are God's grace. And peace, we know what peace is. The freedom from fear, worry, anxiety, stress, right? He says those will be multiplied to you through the process of understanding, receiving the word. And then he goes on to say, according as his divine power, hath, that's past tense now. Remember we did a test last week and you all passed. Hath is not a present tense word. It is not a future tense word. It is a past tense word. It says that God hath, past tense, already given unto us things. He says he's already done it, given unto us things. What things? Things that pertain unto life and godliness. What's that cover? Natural things and spiritual things. He says, I've given you everything that you need for this life naturally. By the way, that would be your healing. That would be your provision. That would be your peace. That would be your protection. That would be your favor. That would be the job you need. That would be the health you need. That would be the car you need. That would be the house you need. That would be what you need for life. But then he also says for godliness. He's talking about your natural fruit and spiritual fruit. He says, I want you to produce natural fruit and spiritual fruit. And he says, I've already given it to you. Well, some people live life and they go through life and they say, here's pastor talking about healing. Here's pastor talking about provision. Here's pastor talking about favor. Here's pastor talking about grace. I'm not seeing it in my life. I'm seeing sickness. I'm seeing disease. I'm seeing poverty. I'm seeing lack. I'm seeing frustration. I'm seeing turmoil. I'm seeing all these things that don't equate to abundant life and don't equate to heaven on earth. Well, he said he already gave it. Well, let me ask you a question. For a farmer to go out and do something in his fields, to plant a garden, to do a vineyard, is everything already on the earth to have a successful garden? Absolutely. Is everything already on the earth to have a successful field full of produce? Absolutely. Everything's already on the earth required to do what you need to do. But there's a process to get the fruit up out of the garden. There's a process to get the fruit on the vineyard and the vines and the trees. There's a process to get the fruit and the corn and the things in the fields to come up. It doesn't just, even though the stuff's already here, something has to happen. And he says to you, he says, I'll give you all things compared to pertain to life and godliness, but it's going to be through a process. What's the process? Through the knowledge of him, the word. Yes. Amen. That has called us to glory and virtue. So a lot of people say, I'm not receiving that abundance of life, that abundant life, that grace and peace, that godliness, my spiritual life. I'm not getting any revelations, not hearing from heaven, not increasing in that realm. And they say, I must not be here. No, it's here. You just haven't gone through the process. Yes. Amen. Amen. A farmer could walk out to his field, his a blank field that he purchases, don't do anything to it, don't put anything in it, don't take care of it all, walk out to his field and say at the harvest time and say, well, I just guess it just wasn't for me. It wasn't meant for me. Come on. No, farmer, you got to do something. And farmers know that they got to do something. Well, we want to see That's fruit and produce mixed together. Fruit. We're just trying to shorten things up, get you out of here quicker. Because Nettie's made all this taco stuff over there, and we want you to get to that as soon as possible. So, fruit. That's a new word. We made a new word. To see fruit produced in your life, there's a process that needs to happen. That's what we're trying to help you with. Why? I want to see fruit produced in your life. Why? You're more blessed that way. The kingdom's more blessed that way. So that's what we're looking at. And so Mark chapter 4 and verse 14 helps us with this. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. So we're a field. We're a vineyard. We're a garden. But something has to happen for the fruit to be produced. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. I want to read down through this, and we'll just mention some things concerning it. It says, "The sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground." See, he's likening the word to a seed, and he's likening the ground to people's hearts. That's why when Pastor Mike says you're a piece of dirt, you don't have to get offended at me. Jesus said you're a piece of dirt. Some of you are wayside, some of you are stony, some of you are thorny, and some people are good ground. It says, "And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, and endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. There's two main things that are the topic for the discussion here in this portion of Scripture. The word and the ground. The word and the ground. Talking about the word, every single passage there centered around the word and the ground. Now he likened the sower sowing the word or preaching the word. Remember Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep, preach the word, sow the word. That's what pastors do. They feed the flock. They sow the word. And it falls, when I sow the word, it falls on ground. Well, the Bible says that the people are the ground. And there's four different types of ground here. Do you see that? The word that is heard falls onto your heart. Some are wayside, stony, thorny, and good ground. But the word, praise God, is the subject of discussion. Now, what I want you to see is a couple things that should be alarming to you is that four types of people hear the word. There's four different types of people, Jesus said, that are in the word. Four different types of people. And, oh, Lord, help me today. There's four different types of people that are the word falls on. And 75% of the people that hear the word of God, three out of the four, you see it here. I didn't say this, Jesus said this. He said three out of the four people that hear the word of God don't get anything out of it. Yet they heard the word. Now remember, we saw something about the word last week. We saw that the word is blessed. The seed is blessed. The seed is perfect. The Bible says it's incorruptible. The Bible, you can look at this last week to get more in depth, but the Bible says that it's sharp, it's powerful, it's quick, it's alive. It has production value. You can take the best corn seed in the world that makes the juiciest sweet corn and go out and scatter it all over the parking lot. It doesn't matter how good the seed is, it's not going to produce anything. Why? It's not the seed's fault, it's the ground. The Word of God, when it falls on people, is the most fruit potential producing seed there ever is, ever was, and ever will be. But the problem is it hits wayside ground, it hits stony ground, and it hits thorny ground, and nothing happens with it. And sometimes it hits the good ground, and then fruit produces. Just like a farmer, you know, at his property, you know, he goes out to the good, fertile land to plant his corn seed. He doesn't throw his corn seed in the driveway that he drives in. Why waste that seed? And Jesus is saying, Jesus only had 25% results. That means one out of four that hear the word actually get something out of it. Three out of four that hear it don't get anything out of it. And the seed is blessed. You're the ground, the Bible says. And you determine the ground. And remember we said how we determine the ground? The Bible says, take heed how you hear. Or you can say it this way, take heed how you receive that seed. Amen. You're the ground. Amen. You're the ground this morning. What are you going to be? Wayside, stony, thorny ground? Or are you going to be good ground? Hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit. Well, that's up to you, not up to me. I'll preach the same messages. Some will produce fruit, some won't. One the preacher and it wasn't the seed. It was the ground. Amen. It's just the truth. It wasn't Jesus' fault what he preached and only got 1/4 results. The minister did what? Sowed the word. The word was perfect. The ground wasn't. Amen. Wasn't in the right place. And we saw that, praise God, and it's the word that causes growth. When you look at the good ground, when you look at the bad ground, it says that the word was sown, but the bad ground did something to the word and it made the word unfruitful. But when the word was sown on the good ground, something happened and produced fruit. The only way you can be God's garden, field, and vineyard and produce fruit is to do the right thing with the seed. Amen. Remember we said all things are already here? Well, a farmer might have a field, might have the tractor, might have all the equipment. If he doesn't have a seed, no corn's coming up. He's got to have a seed. He's got to put that seed in the ground. Well, it's the same with the Word of God, praise God. Hallelujah. So we're going to make sure this morning, going forward in this series, to locate ourselves within this message, series of messages, find out what kind of ground we are. Honestly evaluate ourselves. Listen, every single one of you here, every single one of you here has at some point had God move in your life. I don't care how offended you are now, what position you're in now, how apathetic you are towards it. At one point or another, God moved in your life and you experienced God. He's real. He never changes. Now, you might have changed. Your ground might have changed. But my point is this. If we're going to be here hearing this, we might as well throw aside our attitudes. We might as well throw aside our preconceived ideas. And we might as well just realize, you know what? God's touched my life before. Through the Word. Through this church. He's helped me before. He's helped me. He's spoken things when I've needed it. He's ministered to me through the Word of God. He's helped me. So I might as well. If I came in here grumpy, came in here with an attitude, came in here indifferent, came in here apathetic, came in here casual, I might as well sit here and receive something because the Word is supernatural. It'll do the work for you. If you'll just have good ground and receive it, the Word will work for you, praise God. Amen. And so I want to get people, if they are bad ground, if you have little characteristics of each one, to make just small adjustments. Amen. You know, a farmer might go out and find a certain part of the land needs to be worked a little bit more, right? Or cultivated a little bit more, kicked up a little bit more. Maybe there's some stumps that need to be pulled out of there. I don't know. But we're trying to get you into good ground. Why? We want you to produce fruit, praise God. So go with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 14. It says, the sower sows the word. Now, the first thing we're going to look at in this series, in this message today, is the wayside ground, which is right here. It says, and these are they by the wayside. So there's a ground called the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that is sown into their heart. So I'm going to look at different aspects of this today, but the goal is to make sure we're not the wayside ground. And the first thing I want you to see is that the Bible says something alarming, that Satan, when the word is sown, comes immediately. Now, we talked about this in the past couple services when we talked, not last week, but the following Wednesday before, and that Sunday we preached that sobering message about the word, that the devil's after the word. The devil wants to get the word out of your life. Until you get a revelation of that, you won't protect the word. The word will become optional. Any church will be okay. No church will be okay. Until you get the revelation that that's exactly what the enemy wants. There's only one thing that we can use to combat the enemy. It's the Word of God. Amen. Think about this now. Well, first of all, I'll show you here in Ephesians 6:17. Go to Ephesians 6:17. I'll show you why he wants to get out of your life. If people could see into the Spirit and see the devil, and see actually what the devil's trying to do in your life, and when you see in the Spirit and realize there's only one thing that can oppose him, oh, the Word would be a valuable thing to you. Oh, it would be so valuable. When you would see that you have a real enemy that is trying to mess you up, and there's only one thing that can stop him, which is the Word, you would get a better revelation of the Word and a greater protection of the Word. Amen. and take the helmet of salvation. Now notice this. And the sword of the Spirit. Now this is where Paul was talking about our battles against the devil. In verse 12 it says, or 10 it says, take the whole armor of God. Verse 12 says we wrestle against the devil. And then it goes on to give us all this armor that we put on for protection. And then in verse 17 it tells us what we can use to fight back now. It says, take the helmet of salvation, which is protection, and the sword of the Spirit. What's the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. Do you see that there? So the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Well, he's telling us we have to go against the devil. The sword back then was what? The weapon used to fight the enemy. Used to cut down, used to kill, used to slay the enemy. Used to go on the offensive. A shield's defensive, a helmet's defensive, a breastplate's defensive. All these things are defensive. But a sword can be defensive, but a sword can also be offensive. Start driving back, cutting things down, changing circumstances. And he says that your sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Now, that word there, word means rhema, the spoken word of God. You know, we don't fight the devil. We don't start swinging in the air with our Bibles and trying to swat him spiritually. No. The Bible says the spoken word of God. Well, without going into too much detail, actually, you can listen to my message last night from Allegheny. I taught on this. Jesus demonstrated how we drive back the devil. In Luke chapter 4, when he was in the wilderness, remember the devil came and pressured him, and Jesus, every time the devil did something, Jesus said, it is written. Well, what was he doing? He was speaking the word, pulling his sword out, and driving the devil back. Driving the devil back, praise God. That's what was happening. And so, here's the thing. The only thing Jesus used in Luke chapter 4 to get the devil off his case, you know the devil trying to mess you up? You know, I know you go through life tiptoeing through the tulips, thinking, this is just natural, and this is just what we do, and this is just a... Go ahead and try the enemy. I dare you to try it. Come on. Go ahead. I don't want you to, but I dare you to try it. If you had a revelation of who the devil was, and the one thing that stops him, which is only the word, the only thing Jesus used to fight the devil in the wilderness was not prayer. He never asked God to fight the devil. God's not going to fight the devil for you. He's not going to do it. He didn't ask the church to pray. He didn't ask his pastor to pray. Jesus took care of the devil with the word of God. And what happened? The devil left. The only thing that the devil cannot stand against, that can fight him off, is the Word of God. So think about this. If the devil can get the Word out of your life, I think of all the Christians that go to churches. You say, why do you talk about this? Because I came from them. I know they're real. Yeah. Courtney came from them, and a lot of you came from them. I'm not belittling the people. I'm just saying there are places that are churches that love the Lord, but they don't preach the word. They don't hear about healing. Well, when the devil brings sickness on them, and they're begging God to heal them and not getting healed, they wonder why. God just must not be healed. No, you get that healing by the word. But if you don't have the word in your life, you don't have the word to fight back with. What about the word on the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and speaking with our tongues? The Bible says when you get that, you have power. Well, what about all the Christians in the churches that won't let the Holy Ghost in? Don't talk about the Holy Ghost. And they go through life. Why is it so hard? Why is it so frustrating? Why is it so tough? No power. And the only thing is the word to give them power to drive back. And they never hear it. Of course the devil wants to get the word out of your life. It's the thing that whacks him upside the head. It's the thing that drives him back. The word of God. That's what I mean. Some people have to learn this the hard way. I remember being so offended, sitting there. I don't care what the word says. It doesn't matter what the word says. What I think. It's what I want. Go ahead. You'll pay for it. I paid for it. I paid for it. Unnecessarily, as a Christian, I paid for things. And you will too. If you walk away from the word. I'm just telling you. Say, oh, you're just trying to keep me. Why do I care about keeping you? It doesn't do anything for my life. I care about seeing you blessed because I got to stand before Jesus. That's why. And I'm trying to warn people, the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. It's the truth. And I know, I remember, and it messed me up. I strayed, and I went away as a Christian, and the devil ate my lunch, and I paid for it. I paid for it through offense. I got so offended at people, so offended at my pastor. This church, I'm not receiving from this church anymore. Well, then that's my problem, because that church is just preaching the word. If you don't receive from a place that's preaching the word anymore, that's your problem. And that's a problem. That's a problem. It's, no, it's just offense, your attitude, and your actions and stuff. I know I was there. I know I was there. I hated it. I couldn't stand it. Oh, this and that. I had no scripture to back it up. had no Bible to back it up. It was all about my opinions. And guess what? Pastor Mike walked away from God, and I paid for it. Why? Wages of sin is death. It's dangerous to walk away from what you know. But watch. Some people have to just learn it to come back. I remember Reverend Greer one time at the table prophetically saying, he said, some people will have to be, instead of falling to their knees on their own accord, will have to be brought to their knees before they get on their knees and seek God. I don't want to be that person that has to crash before I start doing what I'm supposed to be doing. The word's never not been true. And that's what I was trying to say to people, is that you've all received from the word. You know it's true. You've seen the benefits of your life. Go ahead, walk away from the word. Don't do it. Say, why are you hammering on this? Because this is the first part of the parable of the sower. The devil tries to take it from you. So Pastor Mike screams his bloody head off to try to get you not to walk away from the word. Go ahead, you walk away from the word, I'm going to still be blessed. I'm going to still be blessed. I'm going to do it for the rest of my life. It's the most important thing there is, the word of God. It's the only thing the devil tries to get rid of. Why? It's your weapon. It's your weapon, praise God. Go to Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. Man, there's a lot of utterance right there. It's a good thing I got the air set. A good thing I got the air conditioning set where it's at, because if I would have just went through all that with, if I would have listened to the cold people and turned that up, man, I'd be up here passing out or something. Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. I'm just trying to help you. You know what the word keeps you from? Safe from your attitude, your opinions, your philosophies, your theories, your feelings. I mean, you're looking at a guy who was so offended at the word, so mad at the word, said the same things every offended person says. They've received this. I don't receive from this church anymore. Wait a minute! How did you receive before and now you don't, and I haven't done nothing different? The sermons are the same. The ground changed. Weeds sprung up. Rocks got in. The messages don't change. The word hasn't changed. I said the same stupid things that offended people say all the time. I don't receive anything. I don't like the word. I don't like that church anymore. I can do whatever I want to. Go ahead. Devil's trying to get the word out of people's life. That's why we're on this ground. When you would realize that the word is the one thing that he can't stand against, you'll value it and you'll treasure it. Amen. Look what y'all did to me already. Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. Why does the devil want to get it out of your life? Look at this. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil. Takes away the word out of their heart. Why? Lest they should believe and be saved. Now we think of that just in salvation. But the Bible says that when we call on the name of the Lord, we'll be saved. The Greek word for saved is sozo. That means a complete salvation. Saved from your sickness. Saved from your poverty. Saved from your depression. Saved from your anxiety. Saved from your fear. Saved from not having favor. Saved from not having protection. It's a complete salvation. And look what it says, that they hear the word. The hearing of the word equates into being saved. Some people in this church were healed and only healed when they came to a place that taught the word on healing. Romans 10:17 happened when you hear faith comes. Faith came in their heart for healing. They released their faith and received their healing. Yet, people in all the other churches like I grew up in, like Courtney grew up in, like some of the churches you came from, they don't preach the word on healing. And guess what? They can't be saved on healing. Why? They don't hear the word on healing. They don't hear the word on prosperity. They can't be saved. So why does the devil want to get the word out of your life? Because the word translates into the fruit. The fruit of what? Healing. The fruit of prosperity, the fruit of victory. So Satan comes to steal it. If I can get it out of their heart, I can take faith from them. Faith is the only way they receive. Woo! That's the truth, man. You guard that thing with your life. And I think of all the people that sit in churches that don't preach the word. It's the same thing every week, just traditions, repetition. And it's good, feel good. They love each other. They're good people. I'm not saying they're not. And they don't hear the word. And when sickness shows up on their door, I don't know what to do. Oh, God, save me. Oh, God, save me. No, that's not how it works. He already did everything he's going to do. Or something happens financially, things start going south in their life. They don't know what to do. They don't know anything about their authority. Their lives are being wrecked. Their minds are being wrecked. And they just don't know what to do. Except they do what all Christians do. Oh, save me. Oh, Lord, do something. Oh, where are you in the time of trouble? I'm glad I didn't rip something. I was thinking about that as I stood up. That might not have been a good position to get into. I'll tell you. These things happen, man. I don't need anything like that happening. I'm good, right? Praise God. Try to get it out of your life. Guard it. Guard it. Guard it. Well, I want to show you how one of the ways it happens here. So he tries to get it out of your life. Go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. This is another... Or no, don't... Yeah, go to Luke 10. I'm sorry, Michelle. Go to Luke 10, verse 19. That's what I want to say. Luke 10, verse 19. It's up to you to stop it. So one of the things that the schemes of the enemy or the plans of the enemy is to get the word out of your life. That's one of the powers that he does. Well, here it is where he says, behold, I give unto you power. That word power is the word authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He says, I give you the authority. The first thing you need to know about the devil trying to get the word out of life is you can't let it happen. It's up to you to stop it. You know, I remember, I look back now, and when you're going through it, you don't see it as much. But here I got born again in January 10th of 2002. And I'm progressing in the things of God. I mean, I'm really progressing, and I'm devouring the word, and things are changing for me. So much so I hear from heaven to go to a Bible school in Oklahoma. By faith, I step out and do that. I go out there, nobody helping me, having to get a full-time job, go to school full-time, work full-time, pay for everything. No one was helping me a bit. It was such a change for me and as a young man. And I get out there and my truck breaks down, sickness happens, and I see God move in my life through faith, being taught faith in the Word. I see healing come into my life, supernatural. I see prosperity showing up to pay my tuition, and they say, somebody's already paid it for you. Being in class and having people give me money and say, God told me you needed money, and it would be the exact amount of money I need plus money to get a calzone. You know the story. $310. I needed $300. I got $300 plus $10 bill. And I went and celebrated and thanked the Lord over a ham and cheese calzone with ranch dressing and a Pepsi. Oh, man. Mazio's. Woo, I want to go back. I'll tell you, if you ever go to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, go to Mazio's. And get that ham and cheese calzone with the ranch dressing. Yum. And I celebrated, but I saw God move. And guess what? We'll see this in another part of the ground where tests and trials rise up to get the word out of your life. The devil will use anything to get the word out of your life. My dad has a stroke in 2004. Well, I come home, finish my Bible schooling at home, and we'll talk. Again, I'll get into this another week, so not try to expose what we're going to be sharing, and, you know, try to stay on the wayside ground. But the point is, when I got offended through that trial at my shepherd, at the people that my friends were in the Word, and when you're going through it, you don't realize it, but now I see. When I stopped going to church and hearing the Word, the healing stopped. Remember, I was progressing from 2002 up until when my dad had a stroke in 2004. He had a stroke in April of 2004. That's more than 2 years. I'm progressing in the things of God. Prosperity's happening for me. Miracle signs and wonders. Healings. I'm growing. Blessings and favor that I've never experienced before. And I get offended. And I get mad. Why? The devil will do anything. He just wants the Word. If he can get the Word, he can get your health. He doesn't have to attack your health. He just has to attack the Word. He doesn't have to attack your money. He just has to attack the Word. If he can get the Word, he can get your money. He doesn't have to attack your kids. Just get the Word. He'll get your kids. Amen. It's true. And here I am progressing for 2 years being blessed. And I get offended and I walk away. And all of a sudden, I start to get sick. It's not working out financially for me anymore. Things are breaking down. And this went on for months. And finally, I remember sitting in the nursing home and looking at Court and saying, something's got to change. Something's got to change. I had no biblical excuse for not being where I was supposed to be. Just my own feelings, my own thoughts, my own desires, my own wants, my own opinions. I said, I know what the Word says, but I don't feel, you know, pride. It's pride. You get offended, it's pride. I don't want to walk in there. I can't stand seeing those people. I hate that church. Oh, that church that caused things to happen in my life. So dumb how the devil blinds people's minds, but he's just trying to get the Word. He'll use anything he can. And the Word was taken out of my life. Well, guess what was taken out of my life when the Word was taken out of my life? Faith. Guess what's taken out of your life when faith's taken out of your life? Victory. You can only produce when the Word is sown onto you. The Word, the Word, the Word. And so I noticed, I said, I got, something's got to change. From that moment on, I got right with God by myself. I said, Lord, I don't care if Pastor Michael's right or wrong. He wasn't wrong, but in my mind, I still thought he was. I don't care if he's right or wrong the way he handles. I don't care if Reverend Randy and Pastor Tim are right or wrong. It doesn't matter. The Bible says to be offended at nothing. The Bible says to forgive no matter what. I said, this ain't helping me. You know, you walk in offense and unforgiveness. You walk in bitterness. You walk in that. It's just you drinking poison. That's all it is. Thinking everyone else is going to suffer from it. No, it's just you. And I repented there. And I went to Pastor Michael. And I repented. And I went to Reverend Randy, Pastor Tim. I said, I'm so sorry for being such an idiot. And guess what? I got back in church. And guess what started to kick back up again? The healing. The prosperity. In fact, Pastor Mike got the miracle job after I repented, got back into church, and that opened up for me. Before then, I'm struggling financially. Then God opens up a miracle job for me. Amen. Where they change the requirements for me. Court, all of a sudden, gets a job that carried us for years. All of a sudden. No. The Word produces fruit. Amen. I'm telling you, I hate the fact that some people are going to have to learn and see it the hard way and say, wow, things are different since I left the Word. I've been there, man. Woo-wee. Devil tries to get it out of your life. It's up to you to stop it from happening. Go to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're talking about the wayside ground. We don't want to be the wayside ground. Keep it from happening. Well, this is one of the ways it happens. Matthew 13. It's kind of like a part two to this message where we talk about first part that the devil, what the devil's trying to do. You got to guard the Word. But then now it's going to show you a specific characteristic of the wayside ground. In all the grounds, actually, the devil's trying to get it out of your life. The tests and trials, the cares of this world, they're all with the same effort to what? Negate the power of the Word. To choke the Word. Take the Word out of your life. So we looked at that and we have to guard and hold of that. There was a lot of utterance on that. But now I want to show you a specific way. And this will really point out people that want to be mature in the Lord and grow in the things of God. In Matthew 13, in verse 18, we'll just go back to verse 18. He says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So this is Matthew's rendition of what he heard Jesus preach. How many of you know if we heard Jesus preach a sermon and we had to write about it, we'd all write some of the same things and we'd all write some different things? Yeah. Doesn't mean the Bible contradicts itself. It's just different audiences. If we all saw an accident, some of us would report some different. Well, some of us might say what the color of the car was, what the driver looked like, how it happened, and some might say it a different way, right? But if you take them all together and piece them all together, you get the full puzzle put together there. And so he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, so Matthew points out something that Mark didn't point out about this. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received by the wayside. So it says that when people don't understand the word, the devil comes and is able to get the word. Take away the word that was... Now, what was the word meant for? Your growth. Now, especially for people that are younger in the Lord, that haven't been around this a lot and are coming into a church like this. When I say like this, I mean a church that actually preaches the Bible. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying every single church besides Family Church doesn't preach the Bible. If you're thinking I'm saying that, you're deceived. Yeah. I'm only going by the experiences I had growing up in the churches I came from, the churches my family grew up in and are still in, the churches that she ain't there, but that's where she sits usually, where she grew up and went to church, and the churches that you told me about. There's a lot of churches, and the churches that preachers that I know, that know the word, go around to, and they say, you don't understand how good you have it in the family churches. Amen. Well, I do, because I've seen it. Yes. Hallelujah. So if you're coming from either a place of no church, or a church that doesn't teach the word, this is so vital to know this. Because there's going to be so many things that are going to cross your path through the preaching of the word, that are going to be different, that are going to be... completely weird and awkward to your mind and to your flesh, that you're not going to fully understand, that maybe the former place taught against or never taught about or taught wrongly about, and you're going to hear things. And it's going to... And you know, naturally, as human beings, we don't typically like change. Spitting everywhere. We don't typically like change, right? And so, it's, you know, the old statement, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, especially as you grow and get older and you get these things ingrained in you, it's hard to change. It's way easier to sow into somebody that knows nothing about God. It is. Then people that have come in, like I did. I didn't have too much of it. I didn't have a lot of wrong teaching because where I came from, they didn't teach anything. But, you know, places like where Courtney came from and some places that you came from, you have to have some rewiring going on up there because you've been taught and ingrained in so long. And that's where people that are mature, they'll say, man, I don't like how this sounds. I don't like how this feels. This is really blowing my mind. But I can't get away from the fact that it's all in the book. The immature people say, I just can't stomach that. And they walk away. And that's what happens. They don't understand it. And the devil, so when the word gets sown, if it's the Bible, regardless if you understand it, comprehend it, grasp it or not, it's meant for growth. Why? The word's always meant for growth. And one of the things that gets people to walk away from the word and gets them the word to be stolen out of their life is they don't understand it. I don't get it. You know, I'll give you a couple examples of this, of how the enemy works. Of course, I won't tell this full testimony, but you remember my testimony in May. I got saved in January and spring. It was either April or May. I went to the meetings in Fredonia. And I saw things in the service of the special meetings of the Durants that come to our church now. And I saw things I'd never seen before. Things that were very uncomfortable. When you come from the place I came from, it's quiet in the church. And I hear people shouting out loud, jumping up and down, raising their hands, praising the Lord. I saw tongues, interpretation of tongues. I saw people get hands laid out. I saw people full of joy in a service. I saw people running a service. And I saw these things, and it, for lack of a better word, wigged me out. Because my flesh was saying, run! Run! My mind was saying, run! Run! Well, what? Now, hear it again. The things I was seeing, I found out later, were in the Word. The Word's meant to what? Bless you. Well, thankfully, I was at least smart enough to say, I don't know everything. And I'm going to go with the Word, and I'll at least sit down with my pastor after, who for 5 months has only preached the Word to me. He's never steered me wrong. I don't know why I'd have somebody in now. Maybe in 5 months, I haven't learned it all. That's what I said to myself. And so I stuck around. And you know, I had that supernatural experience where I cried out to God in my apartment and said, Lord, I want more of you. And the minister on the last night of the service called me out and said, you want more of God, don't you? He was saying exactly what I was praying the night before. Exactly my heart's cry to God. The Holy Ghost put it in his heart and revealed it to him. And what did that do? From that moment on, it turned me on to the supernatural. And I've never been the same since. The supernatural things of God, the spiritual things, the tongues, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, tongues and the power, all those things that turned me onto that, and it's changed my life. Well, what was it? What was happening in that service? The Word was happening in that service. Amen. And the devil tried to take it. How did the devil try to take it? With thoughts that this place is nuts. This place is nuts. This place is nuts. I thought you were going to church. You didn't go to church. You went to the granola section of the grocery store, the fruity, the flaky, the nutty. Get out of this place. It's wrong. It's a cult. It's not right. It's not right. Get out of this place. That's what was happening. But I stayed. Well, we had not too long ago in Allegheny, I had a woman reach out to me that was going to one of the churches. One of the churches in the area that a lot of people are coming from that church and saying it's because they don't follow the Holy Ghost there. The Holy Ghost isn't allowed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost is not some weird part of the Godhead. He's just as much God as Jesus is and just as much God as God is. Amen, the Holy Ghost. And in fact, he's the only part of the Godhead still on the earth with us. God's in heaven, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Ghost is here, but the Holy Ghost is so misunderstood that nobody wants anything to do with him. They don't want anything to do with God is what they're saying. And she reached out to me and she said, there's just something I'm missing. I encourage you to come to church. You know, she came to church and I read her mail. I preached exactly what she needed to hear for the situation she was going through. Didn't know exactly everything she needed to hear. And she came up to me after service. I didn't follow, track her down. Came up to me and said, this is everything I need to hear. Told me some things going on in her life. And then proceeded to reach out to me through text and phone call that I know I've been searching. There's more for me. Well, when you're a Christian and you don't have the Holy Ghost, that's the more you're missing. That's the more you're missing. Because Jesus said, there's more. And if you don't get the more, guess what? You're missing it. And people walk around and say, I know there's something more. Well, that was the more. She's in a church that won't allow the Holy Ghost. She said, I know there's more for me. So I proceeded on the phone to tell her. I said, well, you know, I said, my job is to feed people. I said, we have service on Saturday night, Tuesday night. Your church doesn't even have service those days. You come and see what God says in your heart. You don't hear the word. And she's like, I want to volunteer for nursery right away. I'm like, my God, sign you up. Nobody volunteers for nursery, hardly ever. I'm like, well, we got to wait. There's a process. Got to go through a vetting process, things like that, faithfulness process and stuff. Okay, whatever. That's great. That makes sense, you know. I appreciate you going through those. And so I had a talk with her, and I said, listen. I said, I want to encourage you, but I also want to admonish you and give you a little bit of a warning. I said, if you feel called to come here, I said, you're going to see things. Now, this is prompted by the Holy Spirit to tell her these things on a phone call. I said, you're going to see things. You're going to hear things you've never been accustomed to. I said, because you're telling me your church doesn't allow these things. And when the Holy Ghost is allowed, these things happen. Right. Laying on of hands, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, tongues and interpretation of tongues, those things that are biblical. I said, you're going to hear and see. Oh, I can't imagine there'd be anything that I just wouldn't watch. I said, okay, just I said, the safety net that you'll have is you always bring it back to the Bible. Always bring it back to the Word. I said, when you hear things and see things in my church, because you're going to, that you're not accustomed to, just, is it in the Word? If it's in the Word, it's safe. You just have to renew your mind to or warm up to it. Yeah. Okay, Pastor Mike. Literally, the next service. At the end of service, I get done, and the Holy Ghost prompts me to call out heart problems. Well, two people came up, and when the two people that came up, I was grieved in my heart, not because they responded, because when you're in a group of about 20, 25 people, your mind is very comforted when somebody responds to what you just called out that you believe you heard from God. But I knew I heard from heaven. I called out heart problems. The two people came up, but my spirit was grieved. Well, I didn't know exactly why my spirit was grieved, but I ministered to them, and I'll get to that in a second. But at the end of the service, this is the craziest thing. A woman comes up to me. She says, will you pray for my husband? He's in the back row. Will you make sure to say a prayer for him this week in your prayers? I said, yeah, what's going on? She said, oh, he's got this incurable heart thing. I said, did you just hear me say God called out in an anointing for heart problems to get hands laid on, and you stayed in your seat and are now asking me to pray? Now, I didn't say that to her, but this is what I'm thinking in my head as she's talking to me. I'm going through that whole thing in my head like, I'm just nodding my head. Why? His help was right then and there. Well, that's why I was grieved. Because that word was for other people, but it was mainly for him. But anyways, one of the gentlemen came up, had hands laid on him, testified the next service he came at the great changes he had from the time he had hands laid on to the time he went to the heart doctor. Let me just help you, people that are offended and tempted to get away from the Word. The miracle signs and wonders of the Word were used for confirmation in Jesus' ministry of legitimateness. That it was a legitimate ministry, that things were happening. In all of your lives, you've seen the Word from this place impact and change physical bodies, financial situations, giving you help. Don't be blind to those things like some of those people were. This stuff's not happening everywhere. And so he gets hands laid on him. From the time he gets hands laid on him to the time he goes to the doctor, he comes back and tells me reports on all the changes. Praise God. Well, one of the ladies that came up, you know it's good when I spit twice. Once we're a kind of an average service, when two of those things come floating out of my mouth, we are hitting the top, man. It's like at the carnival, you know, you hit that thing, it goes up, bang, it hits the bell. When two spits come out, dong, right on there. And she comes up and gets hands laid on her, and the power of God, I felt it go out of my hands into her and knocked her flat on her bum. Well, the other guy didn't fall. It's some people fall, some people don't. Sometimes I've received where I can't stand. Some people I receive and I can stand up. It's not about whether you fall or not. It's whether you had faith and received. Well, when that happened, it was like the Holy Ghost gave me a word of knowledge. Oh, boy, about so-and-so. First time she ever heard someone call out a heart problem. First time she ever saw somebody lay hands on someone. And certainly the first time she ever was in a service experience, someone go down under the power. I just had a conversation with her about the things you're going to see, the things you're going to, oh, I know, I'll make sure to call you, I'll make sure to get a hold of you. I tried to reach out to her. She kept giving me some bull excuse, never contacted me. In fact, the last I heard was, I need to go sit down with my pastor. I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, that's the worst thing you can do. Because he ain't going to give you scripture on why it's biblical, on why it's not biblical. Because you can't find why it's not biblical to lay hands on the sick. You can't find the word of knowledge being not biblical. You can't find falling down being not biblical. It's biblical. So whatever he told her wasn't biblical. Because there's nothing unbiblical about it. Haven't heard from her. Haven't seen her. Nothing. Here's someone that was signed up for everything. How wonderful the church was. This is the missing link in my life. Wayside ground. You had something happen to you that you didn't comprehend and understand. Instead of going down the road of comprehension and understanding, this devil came. There's things going on in her life that I know by the Holy Ghost I can help her through the Word and through the anointing that's on my life and change those situations. I know it. Done it time and again with other people. Who do you think you are? Just some idiot that preaches the Word, but the Word is powerful. That's who I think I am. I'm just telling you, I just stick behind the Word. Praise God. It's not me. I don't bring anything special to the table. I just bring the Word. That is the thing that I bring that's special. The Word. Praise the Lord. Think about different examples. I got to speed this up here. We got tacos waiting for us. And communion. I think about different things. If you're newer to this, when you hear things about tongues. Do you know that your pastor says that the baptism of the Holy Ghost and evidence of speaking in tongues is one of the greatest, most beneficial, most powerful, fruit-producing things that's ever happened in my life? And yet, I'll mention speaking in tongues, or I'll preach a series on speaking in tongues. I'll ask people to come up and receive it. And not everybody has to come up in front to receive it. That's not how everybody receives it. But there are people that will be with me for years and never go down that road when Jesus commanded it, because they don't get it and don't understand it. Instead of going down the road of understanding and finding it out. Now, I'm not talking if you're newer and you haven't been with us very long, you're just learning this stuff. I'm talking about people that you at least hear the value of it. Okay, that word fell on you. It's meant to bless you. But if you don't understand it, say, I don't understand. I don't get that. Just put that on the shelf. That's what the wayside ground does when they don't comprehend it. That's what they did to Jesus in John chapter 6. He preached a sermon. And he was talking about his body and consuming his body. And they were all weirded out. They didn't understand it. And they said, we don't understand that. We're going to leave that word there and we're going elsewhere. What was that word meant to do? Change their lives forever. They did it to Jesus. They'll do it to us. They didn't get it. They were wayside ground. And so your job is to go after the understanding. Go to Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Proverbs 3 and verse 13, that first word says happy. That word happy in the Hebrew is the word blessed. You know what that word blessed means in the Hebrew? Fortunate, prosperous, one that is to be envied. Blessed is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it, of what? Wisdom and understanding. Is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you can desire are not compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Wisdom and understanding are the same two things. You understand some things. Look what it leads to. You know what understanding of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, of laying on of hands, of tithing, of authority, of all these things that maybe you're unfamiliar with and are brand new to you and rub you the wrong way? They lead to length of days and riches. Jake, I had somebody yesterday, what was Trishina? When I was talking about the Word and the Word being water. Because I was talking about the power of the Word. If you just sit under the Word, things will change. Because it's the Word hitting you. And, you know, I always use Jake's example because it was such a dramatic turnaround. Not that other people haven't had turnarounds, but his was so dramatic. But there was a process for this dramatic turnaround. And, you know, when Jake came into the church, you had a little bit of background with family members of the things of God and stuff, and actually taught quite different and things different, and came in full of addiction, full of sickness and disease, full of medication, full of depression, wrong thinking, wrong habits. Just, he was a mess before Jesus, like a lot of us were. And I told Jake, I said, whatever I say, just do it. I said, but I'll preface that. That's not me trying to lead you off a cliff as a cult leader. I'm only going to tell you the Word. Make sure it's in the Word. What I say, it always was in the Word. But There were so many things that Jake is now benefiting from. Tithing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the things of the Spirit that were completely weird and unfamiliar to his mind and his flesh when he came in. But what happened? He ended up getting understanding, which has led to the very things in his life, riches, blessings in his life. The turnaround in how many years? Going 6 now. I had someone talking about him last night because they saw him in the beginning. They knew what he was like in the beginning. But what did that? The Word. But the Word was unfamiliar, but he took time. Do you know how many people leave this church when they find out we're a tongue-talking church and preach it on tongues? They leave. And that tongue-talking thing is the one thing Paul said, I thank God I do more than everybody. He credited it to almost everything in his ministry. Smith Wigglesworth did. Lester Summerall did. Brother Hagin did. John G. Lake did. Pastor Nancy Dufresne does. Pastor Mike Anderson does. Who are those? People that walked or are walking in victory. Amen. And people hear tongues and I'm gone. Do you know how many people have left this church because of tithing? Yet tithing is the doorway into biblical prosperity and biblical blessing for your life, not just financially. But they don't understand it and they can't grasp, how can I do 10%? They can't grasp it. Instead of going down the road and getting faith out and realizing, God's not trying to take from me. God's not trying to take from me. God's trying to get to me. Amen. Amen. People hear healing. They don't understand. I've been taught God's not a healer. You can only get healing when you get to heaven. Well, you can go with those thoughts or you can read the Bible. But the wayside ground, they don't take time to get understanding, and it voids out the potential that seed was. It's like a farmer throwing the seed onto fertile ground, and then you're running out in the dark, picking it all up and taking it away. That's what happens. That seed was meant to do something. Now, go back to Matthew 13 and verse 19. I'm almost finished up here. I know I say that, but I kind of use 11:30 as my mark, my cutoff time. We're almost there. Matthew 13 and verse 19. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked way. Wicked one and catches away. Now, in the Amplified, you know what it says? It says to grasp. When anybody doesn't grasp, you know what that word grasp means? To seize and to hold firmly. Now, remember in Luke, the Bible says that the word for the wayside ground, it fell on your heart. It fell on your heart. You know what the Lord gave me this example? I don't have a green thumb. I'm not very good at that kind of stuff. And where the plow goes off of our driveway, it always digs up and tears up the grass at my house. And so almost every spring, I'm putting out topsoil, putting out some new, raking it down, you know, getting the rocks and stuff out of it, throwing down some topsoil, putting grass seed on, and hoping to grow new grass for the spring and the summertime until I repeat the process next year. And I did it on my own one time, and got it out, got the topsoil out, threw all the seed on the ground. And I noticed that it didn't produce very much for me. I said, I'm going to have someone different, knows what they're doing, do this. Well, theirs looked different than mine. I saw them going over it with a roller or the wheel of the tractor and then throwing hay on top of it. What are you doing? Protecting the seed. Protecting the seed. I'm getting it into the ground and putting the hay on there so the birds can't just come. So the thing, you know, it's not subject to all the things trying to take the word. But see, that's what Christians don't do. It just lays on there. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, it lays on there. That's what to change your life. Healing, prosperity, tithing, all these things that are different to us, they lay on our heart. But we didn't take time to understand and get it down in there, to roll it down in our heart, to grasp that thing, to take hold of it. And the wicked one just comes like a little birdie. Man, I was wondering why all the robins increased when I put down the seed. I thought, man, there's a population explosion of robins around here. Only when Pastor Mike plants grass seed. There was not nearly as many birds when my cousin did it and rolled that into the ground and put the hay on top. Why? It was just not there readily for them to come and scoop it right up. Hallelujah. That would be the example of Romans 10:17. What's the Bible say? Faith comes by hearing and hearing. When you're hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, you know what you're doing? You're rolling that down in. You're getting that deep and you're putting hay over top. You're protecting that seed to be able to grow. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a couple questions here. When Sickness shows up at your door. And it's there. Do you know? No, you don't have to answer this out loud. Just in your head. Do you know what to do? Do you know what to say? Do you know what belongs to you? If you don't, you have not taken the time to put the seed down in your heart of healing and divine. Because I've taught series on it. I mean, I've taught full series on it. What about when financial trials show up? What about when the devil's messing with you? What do? Do you respond wrong? Do you respond right? Do you know how to respond? Do you know what to say about your finances? Do you know what to do about your finances? If you don't, that's wayside ground. You had the word sown on you. I've sown the word, but you didn't take time to understand, to grasp it, to hold on to that thing, to put it down in. And now when the fruit needs to be there, there is none. Amen. Why? Let me ask you, in your head you answer this. Why is it absolutely vital and necessary that you don't leave without speaking in tongues? Most people don't have an answer to that. Why? I've preached it several times. But that word just laid on the top, and it was casual with that word, instead of getting that down into your heart where faith could build up and then you receive from it. It's the truth. I'm not coming down on people because we're all in a process, we're growing, but this is to try to help you grow more. Amen. Amen. What does the Bible say about authority? I've preached on it several times. How do you act in authority? How do you respond in authority? A lot of people don't know the answer to that question, but I've preached it. The word was there, but they didn't take time to understand it and put it down in their heart. That word understand, and I'll close with this final thing I'll say here. That word understand also means in the Greek to consider. To consider not means somebody that comes in that's never heard about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I happen to preach a sermon on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Tell them what Jesus said, that's a commandment. Jesus didn't say speaking in tongues was optional. I know. They don't say that a lot of places, but we say what the Bible says. He commanded people. This is something you don't leave without. Commanded them. Somehow Jesus' commands have become lesser because it's a subject and a topic that rubs our mind and flesh the wrong way. And we're not familiar with. But I'll preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell people what Jesus said. I'll tell people the benefits of it. And people won't even consider it. To consider not. That's what the word is. That word understand means they don't even consider it. They walk out and say, no matter what he says, I ain't even thinking about that again. You considered it not your wayside ground. That seed was meant to produce big time in your life. Amen. Amen. I talk about biblical prosperity. And I mention how the doorway to biblical prosperity is the tithe and the offering. That's the doorway. What did Paul say about the Philippian church? Why will God meet all your needs? Because you participate in biblical prosperity. And I'll talk about it, and people get thoughts, and they'll walk out saying, he can talk about tithing all he wants. I am not starting. You considered not wayside ground. That word was meant to do something, but you considered it not. I'm not even going to consider that. I'm not even consider giving. Giving on top of tithing? Forgiving someone? I'm not even going to consider that. Walking in love towards that person? You don't know what they've done. I'm not even going to consider it wayside ground. And the word, the best seed in the world that was meant to produce fruit, grace, peace, multiplied, all things pertain to life and godliness, just got stolen away. Amen. We can't be this ground, ladies and gentlemen. If there's things that we're tripping up on and things that we're not fully grasping, that's why I'm here, to help you, to point you to the Word, to guide you, to walk you through these things. You can be confident with me that everything I'm going to tell you, like I told Jake, I didn't mind saying it to Jake because I knew. I have nothing to offer Jake naturally. But everything I'm going to offer him is the same things that turned my life around. And he's always going to go back to everything I say. Pastor Mike told me to do something with my money. Is that Pastor Mike's revelation or is that God's revelation? Well, I'll bring what Pastor Mike says to the world. Oh, there it's in the Bible. That's where he gets that from. Yes. Oh, Pastor Mike says something about this. It's weird language speaking in tongues. Is that something Pastor Mike's doing because he wants this Pentecostal crazy charismatic church? Oh, wait, that's what Pastor Mike said. So when you come to me and say, Pastor, I need help understanding this stuff or going, I want the word to produce, but I just don't understand this biblical prosperity. I don't understand the healing. I don't understand. I'll help you through the word, understand it, and gain understanding. Praise God. But ladies and gentlemen, let's close our Bibles and let's get ready to pray. You can't let the word out of your life. And when the word gets sown in your life, don't just let it sit there. Do something with it. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share your word this morning. Lord, we've been helped today. There was utterance there that was from the Holy Ghost, and there was encouragement and exhortation and edification. And there was comfort there, and there was correction, and there was warnings. Everything that Paul told Timothy would happen when you preach the word. Warning, rebuking, exhorting, encouraging, correcting, helping. That's what the word's meant to do. So Lord, I pray that whatever people needed to receive, if it was correction, if it was encouragement, if it was exhortation, if it was edification, if it was comfort, if it was revelation, if it was understanding, if it was rebuking, I pray they would receive that with an open heart. And they would see the fruit of my life. Yeah, I'm only saying that because that's what you just put in my heart, that they would see the fruit of my life. What's Pastor Mike's motivation? What's Pastor Mike's agenda? What's Pastor Mike only ever done? Everything he's always pointed back to the Bible. He's not on his own program. He's not on his own ways. He's not on his own thoughts. I'm not trying to push some agenda, push some idea. We're trying to push the Word. And I pray that would sink into people's hearts. And that, Lord, the callousness and the shell that they've put over the Word that they've known has worked in their life, has changed in their life, I pray that would be peeled away, that those layers would be peeled away, and they would understand. And they'd go down the road, and these things that they've left on the shelf and said, that's not for me, that's not for me. If it's the Word, it's for you. They'll go down the road of those things that are not, they don't comprehend or understand or are difficult for them, or their thoughts, it's just, and they won't be the wayside ground. They'll get off the wayside ground. They'll go into the good ground and they'll start producing the fruit that was always meant to be theirs. That's my prayer, Father, that it would burn in them in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Of course, we have people in here that have heard the word, but there's people that are online or people listening in the future. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's so simple. You don't have to become a member of this church. You don't have to say, I'm committing to anything. Getting to heaven and receiving Jesus is as simple as just believing in Him and asking Him into your heart. It's that simple. Religion and the world make it harder, but God makes it simple. And God wants every single one of you to go to heaven. Church attendance can't get you there. Morality and being a good person can't get you there. Being generous can't get you there. If those things could get you there, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die, but He did have to die for our sins. And the way you receive heaven and eternal life is by doing what the Bible says, which is believe on Jesus, you'll be saved. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, I won't embarrass anybody. I won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus for the very first time in your life, if you've never done that before and you want to receive Him, would you just lift your hand up high in the air? Don't let this moment pass you by. If you've never done it before, if you've already done it before, you don't have to do it again. All right, I see that hand. You can put it down. Now remember, that person that raised that hand, you never have to do this again. You've received Jesus today, but I'm going to acknowledge that. Because your heart is faithful to raise that hand. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Thank you for your boldness. See, we're not trying to embarrass anybody. And again, you're not joining the church. If I never see your face again on earth, I'll see it in heaven. Because you've received Jesus today. Anybody else before we close the service? Father, I saw two hands, and maybe there's more listening online now or in the future. And for those people that raised your hand, listen carefully. Again, it's not my ideas how to get to heaven. It's Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. And John 3:16 tells us, it says that if you believe, you won't perish but have everlasting life. If you call on His name, you'll be saved. By raising your hand, you declared, I want in. So we're going to pray a prayer. And in that prayer, the context of that prayer is going to be me leading you into confessing that you believe in Jesus and receiving Him in your heart. Now, you're not going to have to pray that prayer on your own or think of your own words. I'm going to lead you in that prayer. And you that raised your hand along with everybody else in the church, we're going to pray this prayer. We're going to mean it with all our heart. So go ahead and repeat this after me if you raised your hand, or those of you that are listening online want to get involved with this along with everybody in the church. Say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look up here. For those of you that raised your hand, the Bible says that if you call on His name, you'll be saved. And then He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, if I don't go to church, perfect. Never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I do encourage you. If you raised your hand, what role does church play in my life? If it doesn't mean I have to go to heaven or hell or not, the abundant life, walking in all that God has for you. The Bible says if you'll plant in a local church, your life will be blessed on earth. You're going to heaven. But if you got to wait to get there, you might as well have a blessed life. And the way to do that is to learn the Word, do the Word, receive the Word, and be blessed. So we encourage you, plant in a Bible-teaching church. Hear the Word, do the Word. Doesn't have to be this one, but make sure it's a Bible-teaching one. Hear the Word, start doing the Word, and watch what God will do in your life. Praise God. Now we're going to go ahead and take communion. Brothers, if you come up and serve the people, this is a time of reverence, time of honor, a time of respect, not a time to be messing around, joking around. But a time to be thinking about what the Lord has done for us and to be worshiping Him. Of course, the bread represents His body, which we'll talk about in a second. The juice represents the blood that was shed. It's a sacred and precious time. And let's just worship Him. As you get the elements, just worship Him. Say, what do you mean, Pastor Mike? Thank Him for dying for you. Thank Him that you don't have to go to hell. That He made it simple. Lord, thank you. I was a mess. I talk about Jake's life. I think about, man, I was in that same mess he was. Full of addictions, full of wrong thinking, full of wrong behavior, full of sickness and disease, full of habits that I couldn't break. I was a mess, but Jesus came. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Lord, many of us won't fully grasp it here on this earth, what you've done for us. But Father, I pray that I would not be an ungrateful Christian. That would I not just go through this life just knowing you gave me fire insurance. No, I want to have an intimate, personal relationship with you. Loving on you. Letting you know how grateful I am. Letting you know that I understand. Without you, Lord, I'm nothing. And quite oftentimes, Father, I say that to you when I'm alone and praying or before I come out and preach. That you're the vine, I'm just a branch. You're the vine, I'm just a branch. Take away the branch from the vine, and the vine doesn't die, the branch dies. Apart from you, I am nothing. I know what I was like apart from you, Jesus. I know what I was like apart from you. Everything that I have, that I'm blessed with, that I'm walking in, is because of you. This isn't a Mike Anderson thing, this is a Jesus Christ thing. So Lord, I thank you for saving me. It started at the cross, and it started at the tombstone when you rose from the dead. So, Lord, we celebrate you today. We celebrate communion this morning. And we read from the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So let's take the bread and let's break it. And let's go ahead and let's eat it. Now, Lord, I thank you for what the bread represents. It represents your body that was broken for us. Now, Lord, the Bible says that by your stripes, the stripes on your body, what your body went through, we can walk in divine health. Lord, I thank you for what your body endured. I thank you for what your body, the price your body paid so that we could walk in bodily healing. Thank you, Lord. We receive that in Jesus' name. Verse 25 says, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes.'" Let's go ahead and drink together. Now, Lord, we thank you for what the juice represents. It represents your blood that was spilled and the significance of your blood being spilled. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus washed away all of our sins. The blood of Jesus cleansed us from all our sins. So, Father, we thank you for what Jesus has given us. Let's thank him right now for healing, for salvation, for our sins being forgiven. Oh, Lord, we're grateful. We're going to be a grateful church, a thankful church. I don't want to get to heaven and see the holes in your hands and feet and have the Father show me back in history and then become grateful. No, I am well aware of what you've done and what you've done for me. I thank you for it, Lord. We bless you tonight, or this morning, I should say. We honor you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, before you're dismissed, here's what we're going to do in a second. When I say you're dismissed, all the children's church kids and all the kids that want to come up and show me their notes, make a single file line this way. Not yet. When I say dismissed, listen up. When I say dismissed, we're going to do that. And then also, we're going to have you pass your cups to the end of the aisle. That way the ushers can come and get them. And then you're free to go over and dive into those tacos. Father, thank you for tacos. We call them blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.